You're listening to SBS News.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine, China's foreign policy and their plans for a military base in the Pacific, the rise of authoritarianism. The Lowy Institute's 18th annual survey reveals that these are the international issues most concerning to Australians. The Institute's polling director, Natasha Kassam, says that anxieties about security have overtaken concerns about COVID-19 and climate change.
Australians are feeling remarkably insecure and unsafe. Half the country report in the 2022 Lowy Institute poll that they don't feel safe. And this is for a few reasons, but the main one is Russia and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I think it's been a reminder for the Australian public that we should not take our peace and security for granted. And so you see this increasing level of concern about Russia's behaviour, increasing concern about China as a military threat to Australia. And finally, a real anxiety that a war could break out between the United States and China over Taiwan.
Cheryl Durrant is the former Director of Preparedness and Mobilisation at the Australian Department of Defence. She's not surprised by the report's findings.
One of my military study areas was psychological operations, and as part of that we understand that media both reflects and influences public opinion. And we've really had wall-to-wall coverage on the war in Ukraine from this, at least a month and a half to 2 months. So it's not surprising that these threats, and they're very real threats, the threat of nuclear war as a result of Russian action or miscalculation is quite significant.
Ms. Durrant was the lead author for Defence's submission to the Senate inquiry on the implications of climate change for Australia's national security. After almost 30 years working in the defence sector, she now works with Australia's Climate Council. She says she'd like to see more media coverage devoted to the daily assaults of global warming on civilization, however incremental they may be.
I personally think it's up there equal with the possibility of nuclear war, because both will destroy global order as will a great power war. So those threats for me have always been the two above the others. The real challenge and challenge for all the media is I'd love to see wall-to-wall coverage of what's happening from a climate change perspective in the media for a month and a half and see what the response is. I mean, we've had occasionally the heat wave in India, floods in India, floods in China. There's been floods in Latin America. There's massive droughts across the northern part of Africa at the moment. But these things pop into the media for perhaps, 24 hours, and then they're gone and they pop up again in another 3 weeks.
Natasha Kassam points out that while nuclear war might be top of mind, it hasn't lessened Australians' concerns about global warming.
Australian concerns about climate change have been stable at a high level for the last 3 years, with around 60% of Australians saying that climate change poses a critical threat to Australia's interests. So concern about the climate hasn't reduced, but concerns about other issues have increased.
60% of those surveyed say that global warming is a serious and pressing problem, and that Australia should take steps now to address it, regardless of how significant those costs are.
What's dramatically changed in the last 10 years is the ongoing annual massive deflation that we've seen in the cost of wind, in solar, in batteries, in electric vehicles, the massive technology change that's coming, which means no one can debate that the lowest cost source of new generation is renewable. It's only a question of what do we do with the stranded assets and how quickly do we move away from high emissions legacy assets, and how do we actually make sure the workforce and the communities aren't left stranded high and dry by it.
That's Tim Buckley, the Director of Climate Energy Finance. He points out that public desire for stronger action on climate change is in spite of the nearly two decades that it's been used as a political football.
We've had exceptionally politicised discussion. I think with all of the media politicisation, for want of a less polite phrase for it, I think the mainstream population's been very confused over the last decade, and we've had so much misinformation and outright lies and outright sloganeering that I think most people have tuned out or given up in despair. At the end of the day, what I find positive, we now have a federal government who's committed to action. We have all the states and territory governments committed to action.
It was once the death knell for former prime ministers like Julia Gillard. Now the prospect of a carbon tax and an emissions trading scheme has become a desirable outcome for 64% of Australians surveyed.
That's really positive. Certainly, I think the Albanese government will duck and weave on that one. I think it's really important, though, because at the end of the day, they'll duck and weave because the Murdoch media has made it so toxic. So I think it's great. At the end of the day, I think the Australian population's waking up to the critical nature of the climate crisis. When you've got heat waves hitting Europe, when you've got heat waves hitting India, when you've got rampant bushfires being reported every month around the world, unprecedented extreme weather events constantly bombarding us these days, it's hard not to be aware of it. So I think it's really positive that people are revisiting the discussion about an ETS and or a carbon price. It's critical.
The survey also showed that 51% of Australians support an increase in defence spending, which Natasha Kassam says is much higher than previous years.
That is 20 points higher than 2 years ago. It's a really significant shift that points to that anxiety about China in the region and the idea that Australia actually needs to arm itself to preserve its peace and security.
In the most recent budget, the Department of Defence and the Australian Signals Directorate received $48.6 billion, a 7.4% increase on the previous year. Cheryl Durrant suggests that it's not the size of the budget, but rather the critical thinking behind how it's spent that needs revisiting.
The key thing is not how much spending, it's how well it's spent. Now, we've seen an incredible amount of waste in defence spending and you know, through my entire 30 years in defence, it was a constant refrain that we weren't actually spending our money wisely.
She adds that Australians need to recognise that climate change is altering the geopolitics of defence and foreign affairs, pointing to a recent NATO announcement on how militaries can greatly contribute to decarbonisation.
They've now set a 45% target for decarbonisation by 2030 with a net zero by 2050. So they mean they're talking quite seriously now about how militaries can decarbonise. And given the slow cycles in our procurement, you wouldn't want to be the last player left with diesel and fossil fuel powered equipments when your key allies have moved to something different. So I hope that the additional funding will partly go to matching step with our allies in terms of militaries being a driver of decarbonisation. I know there's some good examples there. I mean, Australian bases actually have been looking at renewables now for over a decade, in which you have some of the bases with substantial renewable resources on them.
Ms. Durrant says if Australia doesn't start its transition now, there will be greater threats of food insecurity and disruptions to the global supply chain. That's in addition to the extreme weather events already prevalent around the world. Tina Quinn, SBS News.